I ask you to turn this morning, please, just in the Word of God to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter number 5. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Just while you're looking that passage up, I'd like to thank our brother for the words of welcome. I'm certainly joyed to be with you here this morning at your morning Bible class. But we trust indeed the Lord will bless our time for this while around His Word. And as we seek the Lord for His blessing. But we'll just maybe read together this chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning at the verse number 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also have loved us and have given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse number 21. And we know God will add His own blessing to this reading of His holy word to all our hearts. We'll just bow together in a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that this Sabbath morning we can gather here in Thy house and around Thy Word to hear what God the Lord would say. We come, O God, in no merit of our own, but we come through the merits of Christ, who is King of Kings, who is Lord of Lords. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt pour out Thy Spirit, O God, upon us, that the Lord will speak to our hearts, Lord, as we will consider Thy Word together. And we pray that Thou wilt open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law, and give us grace, O God, not only to heed Thy word, but to hearken to it and to live it out in our lives, and by Thy grace, that we might bear fruit to the glory of God. We thank Thee for each one gathered with us. Pour out Thy Spirit upon our hearts. Grant us a gracious sense of the presence of the Lord. And Lord, bless Thy truth to every heart and to every soul, Lord, as Thou alone would see the need. For we ask it all in our Saviour's great name. Amen. The little verse of Scripture that I'd like us to consider and base our remarks upon this morning is the verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter 5. I'll just read that verse with you again. It says, And be not drunk with wine, were in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, over in the book of James, James chapter 1 and the verse 22, James says these words. He says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And that verse really means that God's people are to put into practice what they learn and what they glean from the Word of God. Well, if the truth of God's Word is to be lived out in our lives, as we would witness for our Savior in the 21st century, then the words of Ephesians 5, verse 18, must also be a reality in our lives. When it says there, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." In the latter part of this book, Paul is dealing with what we might call practical, holy Christian living. By the Ephesian Christians, they were to honor the Lord. And if they were to honor the Lord, then they must be a people filled with the Holy Spirit. And people, the same applies to you and I this morning, saved by the grace of God. You will notice here how at the beginning of this verse, Paul sets a prohibition before God's people. He says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." God's people are to have nothing to do with drunkenness. In this age of liberal Christianity, the best place for all alcoholic drink is down the drain. It is something God's people should abstain from. But from this prohibition, Paul also sets an illustration before the Ephesian Christians. Just as alcoholic drink controls the deeds, the words, the actions of a drunk man, so the Holy Spirit is to control the deeds, the words, the actions, the attitudes of God's people. And this is vital for a Christ, a glorifying testimony. Hence Paul says here, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Brethren and sisters in Christ this morning, being filled with the Holy Spirit is the key to us exalting our Savior before this world and this day and age in which we live. And as we consider then this vital matter of being filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, a number of thoughts I want you just to note in connection with the subject of the Christian being filled with the Spirit of God. First of all, I want you to see here the meaning of being filled with the Spirit of God. Our verse says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The word "filled" there means to fill or to make full. And my, if the Christian is to be filled with the Holy Spirit must pervade every part of his being. The Holy Spirit must control his every purpose, his every affection and thought and desire and word and deed. People, this is what it means for you and I to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit must be in control of every department of our life. And my, such a blessing is possible in this ungodly world. What do you read of the early New Testament church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4? Men and women, and no doubt young folk as well in that church, it says this: "And they were all filled with the Spirit." Our text here this morning is in the present tense. My, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is to be continuous in the life of the Christian. My, yesterday's infilling does not suffice for the present hour and the present need. Now, you think of a glass being continually filled with water from a tap or a fountain that's been continually filled up. Well, on a daily basis, you and I who are saved are to be filled with the Spirit. Now, this infilling is not a one-off experience. It's to be our constant experience as God's believing people. Time after time, you read of God's people in the early New Testament church being filled with the Spirit of God. Turning your Bible just back to the book of the Acts. Acts chapter 4 In many ways, the book of the Acts can be called the Acts of the Holy Ghost, the workings of the Holy Spirit in the life of God's people and God's early church. But look at Acts chapter 4 and the verse number 8, and then go down to verse 31 of the same chapter. You read of Peter, and verse 8 just begins with these words, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them," and he went on to speak. But go on down to verse 31 of the same chapter. Notice what it says again about the early church. No doubt Peter was there. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Why, they knew this outpouring, this infilling of the Spirit of God upon their life, upon their testimony, upon their ministry. Child of God, until you enter heaven's glory itself each day, you and I are to seek after the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. Daily we're to have the burden of the hymn writer. The hymn writer said, "Breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, promise of the Father given. Send us now a Pentecost." That was the burden of his soul, to know this infilling, this outpouring of the Spirit of God upon his heart, upon his soul. That's the meaning of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. But notice secondly here this morning, the duty of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. In our text, Paul says, "And be not drunk with wine," we're in this excess, "but be filled with the Spirit." Those words, "be filled with the Spirit," they are in the form of a command. This was a command that Paul was setting before God's people in the church at Ephesus. As the Ephesians were to live for God's glory, it was an imperative that they be filled with the Holy Spirit. Over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, and in the verse 49 there too, you have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking before his ascension into glory. And he commanded the disciples there, it was a command that he gave to them, to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Tarry ye until ye be endued with power from on high." It was a command that he gave to them, to tarry, to seek after this infilling of the Spirit of God. And again in Acts chapter 1 and the verse 4, he gives a similar command there to his people. He says, "But wait for the promise of the Father." And these commands, they show to us that as Christians, we must seek after the infilling of the Spirit of God. By the message of our text must be heeded in our hearts and lives if we're to glorify our Savior in this ungodly world. Now, it was D.L. Moody who said that God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And he was a man who knew the anointing of God upon his life in a mighty way. Oh, think of what the Bible says, dear people, about God's commands for God's people in the book of 1 John, in the chapter number 5, in the verse 3, John says there of God's commands for his people, for his church, all of his commands. He says this, "His commandments are not grievous, they're for our good, they're for our blessing, that we might honor and glorify the Lord." Again, in the Gospel of John, the Lord is speaking to his own people. And he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And my proving our love to Christ, this is something we must seek after with all of our heart, to be filled with the Spirit of God. The duty of being filled, the meaning of being filled with the Spirit of God. Thirdly, this morning, as we think further upon our text, I want you to see the outcome of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. Paul says here, "Be not drunk with wine," we're in this excess, "but be filled with the Spirit." What is the outcome, the outworking, the fruit of the Christian being filled with the Spirit of God in their life? Well, turn with me back to the book of Galatians, to the book just before our reading this morning. Galatians chapter 5. And if you look with me at verses 22 and 23, here you see something of the fruit of being filled with the Spirit of God in the life of God's people. In Galatians chapter 5 and the verse 22 and the verse 23, Paul again is speaking to God's people in the church of Galatia, and he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost in his people, is love, a joy, a peace, a long-suffering, and gentleness, a goodness, faith, a meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My, when God's people are filled with the Spirit of God, as it says here at the very beginning of that list, their lives will be marked by love. My, our love for God will be intensified. Our love for God's people will be warm and fervent. Our love for God's work will be zealous. Our love for God's word will be strong. Our love for lost, perishing sinners, my, it will be strong as well. My, the Holy Spirit was given without measure to Christ, the Son of God. And what did Paul, the chief of sinners, say of Christ toward him? He said, this, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My, Christ is the embodiment of perfect love. My, the fruit of love will be seen in our lives when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Also, there will be the fruit of joy there. That's the next word in the list there. Over in Psalm 45, in the verse number 7 there, the Holy Spirit is called the oil of gladness. That verse speaks prophetically of Christ, and it says, God have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And my, when God's people are filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a joy in their heart, a joy in their soul. In Acts chapter 5 and the verse 41, you read of the disciples there, it was a time of persecution for their witness for Christ. But this is what it says about them in that verse. It says, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. There was a joy in their hearts in the time of suffering and persecution. Why? Because they were filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, believer, the infilling of the Holy Ghost will give you joy in every trial and every tribulation that comes your way in life in this scene of time. But my, there'll be other graces as well that will follow when we're filled with the Spirit of God there. Notice the next word, peace. That means peace with God. Knowing the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Peace with others. Long-suffering. It means being patient in the time of trial. Mention is made there of gentleness. That speaks of kindness. Mention there is made of goodness. Our lives will be marked by goodness. Think of what the Bible says of Barnabas. The Bible says he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. Goodness marked the life of Barnabas. There will be faith. Faith is mentioned. Our faith in the Lord will be strengthened. That word faith also has the thought of fidelity. And our part as God's people being faithful to our word. Faithful and trustworthy to God's word. To God's work. To our homes. To our families. To our workplaces. As God's people. And then there's the word there, meekness. It means humility, patience, even in injury. And even accepting God to vindicate our witness and our testimony. And then down there also in verse 23, the mention is made of temperance. And that speaks of self-control. Our lives been under the control of God, the Holy Spirit. Now it was John Owen who said the Holy Spirit is the great beautifier of the soul. Look at what Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse number 9 about the fruit of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That is the fruit that will be outworked in our lives when we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Then in this chapter 5, Paul speaks of other fruit as well. There will be thanksgiving in our hearts to God. Look at the verses that immediately follow on from our text here in Ephesians chapter 5. He speaks of being filled with the Spirit in verse 18. But look at what he goes on to say in verses 19 and 20. Notice what follows on. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be thanksgiving to God in our hearts when we're filled with the Spirit of God. You know, child of God, when you and I seek to live the Christian life in the power of the flesh, the power of self, what will happen is this. Our lives will be marked by murmuring and complaining. Remember the children of Israel when they come out of bondage, out of Egypt. It wasn't very long till they were going across the wilderness. And the Bible says they murmured against the Lord. But dear people of God, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we'll be a thankful people. We will be a contented people. And then there's something else that follows on from this infilling. There will be power in the place of prayer and in seeking God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter number 6. Look with me, please, there at the verse number 18. Paul has just dealt with the Christian armor. And then he speaks of prayer, how it was all to be harnessed and put on with prayer. And he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Spirit refers to the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. By the infilling of the Spirit of God in our lives, my, it will help us in our times of prayer. Private prayer and public prayer. I believe the infilling of the Holy Ghost in our lives, my, it will cure every difficulty in our lives as God's people in getting to the place of prayer. Because we'll know we'll want to meet with God. We'll want to seek God. The Holy Spirit will help us in the place of prayer. But then there's another fruit, and that is power and service for God. Turn back to Acts chapter 1, and you'll see reference made to that fruit. Acts chapter 1, and the verse number 8. A well-known verse, I'm sure, to each one of us in the gathering this morning. The Lord is speaking here to His church, to His people. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Where do we get power for service? Through the person and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. Whatever we do for God, giving out a gospel tract, teaching a Sunday school class, a Bible class, a children's meeting, ministering God's word, how we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our service for God. If that service is to be owned and blessed of God. You read the life story of God's servants in days gone by who were used greatly of God. They were men filled in a mighty way, in a mighty measure, with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. My John Wesley said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing but add sin to sin. And my, he was right. You know, two men were once viewing the Niagara Falls, that great falls over there in Canada. And one said, this water is the greatest unused power in the world. The other replied, not so, sir. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. My, that's true. We need to seek the power of God in all our service for God, the anointing of the Spirit of God. How important that is. Yes, we've seen that the meaning of being filled with the Spirit, the duty of being filled with the Spirit, the fruit of being filled with the Spirit. But one final thought I want to share with you, and it's simply as the way for the Christian to be filled with the Spirit of God. How important that is. You know, whenever a person is saved by the grace of God, they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They are born again of the Holy Spirit. They are regenerate by the Holy Spirit. Remember what Paul said to the Christians in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. He says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But my, if the Christian is to be filled with the Spirit of God in their life, day by day, then as God's people, our lives must be marked by obedience to the Lord. Obedience to God's word in our lives. Obedience to the will of God for our lives. You turning your Bible over to Acts chapter 5. Look with me at verse number 32. Notice here what the members of the early church say about obedience and about the pouring out of the Spirit to God's people. It says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, "And we are his witnesses of these things, so is also the Holy Ghost." And notice the next statement, "whom God hath given to them that obey him." My, if we are to be filled with the Spirit, we must obey God's word as God's people. We must obey the will of God for our lives. Yes, there must be obedience in our lives. But it goes on another step. There must be holiness in our lives. You remember what Peter said to God's people? Or the Lord was speaking through him in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says to God's people, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Think of the character of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holy. And my, if we are to be filled with the Spirit, we must live holy lives as God's people. In other words, we must turn away from the sinful, ungodly ways of this world. If you go back there to Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse number 30. Notice there what Paul says to God's people. He says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit." He speaks here of the person of the Holy Spirit being grieved. What is it that grieves the Holy Ghost? Sin is the thing that grieves the Holy Spirit in our lives and robs us of his power. That's what Paul was driving home there when he said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." In that chapter 4, before that, and in the latter part of chapter 4, Paul lists certain sins that must be avoided if we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. He's speaking here to God's redeemed people. Look at verse number 25. He speaks of the sin of lying. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Lying is to be put away from the life of the Christian. Our lives are to be marked with truth. Look at verse 26. He speaks there of the, refers to the sin of uncontrolled anger. He says, "Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath." As he speaks further here to these Christians, he says, "Stealing must be put away." Look at what he says to them in verse number 28. He says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Stealing must be put away. The life of the Christian must be marked with honesty. And then in verse 29, he speaks of corrupt conversation. He says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." And if you go on down to verse 31, he goes on to speak of other sinful actions and words and feelings that can affect God's people. He says in verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor," the word clamor means asserting one's rights before others, "and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Evil speaking speaks of slander, malice speaks of spite. And these things must be put away. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God. These are sins we must avoid by the grace of God. These are sins that we must repent of and put under the blood of Christ. Look at what Paul says in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5 to God's people. He says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." God's people are to have nothing to do with the unfruitful, ungodly ways of this evil world. What's to be the contrast? How are we to live? Look at the contrast that Paul gives to us in verse 32 at the end of chapter 4. He says to God's people, "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. Then he goes on in chapter 5, telling us how in this matter we are to follow God himself. For he says there, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk, he says, in love, as Christ also have loved us, and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. We're to follow God. We're not to follow the ungodly ways of this evil world. Oh, this is vital, dear people. We are to be a people in our day and generation filled with the Spirit of God. There must be obedience. There must be holiness in our lives, but something else. There's another step. There must be prayerfulness. There must be prayer, a seeking of God in prayer. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11 and the verse 13. He said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? In the opening part of that whole chapter, the Lord Jesus is dealing with prayer in the life of his people and the life of his church. How we must seek God for the infilling of the Spirit of God. You read and study the history of revival. Every revival that is of God has been preceded by God's people praying, seeking the face of God. Read the biographies of spiritual giants of days gone by. They were men and women of prayer. Great warriors in the secret place of prayer. It was said of Charles Spurgeon that he never prayed for more than 15 minutes, but he never went for more than 15 minutes without prayer. There must be a seeking of the church of God's face in prayer for the outpouring of the Spirit of God and this infilling in our lives in public prayer and private prayer. Turn back again with me back to Acts chapter 4. And I want you to see here the link between the outpouring of the Spirit of God and prayer. Acts chapter 4, we've already read this verse with you in our Bible study. But look again at verse 31. We'll just maybe read verse 29 and 30 as well to get the context. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. There was a need here. There was persecution. The desire was in the midst of it, God's servants would speak forth the word of God. Verse 30, it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And look at the response of the church, God's people, in verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, they sought God in prayer, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. There was a crying out after God. It says when they were prayed, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word with great boldness. Child of God, I believe the pathway for you and I to be filled with the Spirit of God as God's people in this ungodly world is the pathway of obedience to God. The pathway of holiness, separation from this ungodly world. The pathway of prayer, of seeking God's face day by day in the quiet place, calling upon God's name. Oh, by God's grace, let us walk that pathway. There was once a committee of ministers, and they were contemplating asking D.L. Moody to come and to conduct a mission in the city where they lived and labored. One young minister was opposed to Mr. Moody coming, and he asked the question, does he have the monopoly of the Holy Spirit? The older minister replied, no, he has not the monopoly of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has the monopoly of D.L. Moody. In other words, he was a man surrendered to God, given up to God. Oh, child of God, surrender all to Christ. Seek the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life day by day, in your home life,
for your daily vocation in life where God has placed you and called you, and for your service for God through this church and other ministries that you might be involved in. And my, by God's grace, your life will be a faithful witness for God's honor, for God's glory. Oh, Paul says here to us this morning, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. This is where God wants us to be as his people. Now, this is God's purchased blessing for us through the blood of Christ. Let us cry unto God and seek after God for that infilling, that anointing of the Spirit of God. And day by day with power in our hearts and in our lives and in our souls. We'll just close our meeting and bow together just in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us around Thy Word this morning. And we thank Thee, Lord, for this command to us, Thy people, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Help us, Lord, as Thy people, Lord, to walk the pathway of obedience. Thou said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Help us, Lord, to be a holy people, Lord, and not contaminated with this ungodly world, but separate unto God. And Lord, help us to be a prayerful people. Lord, pour upon us Thy Spirit to this end, Lord. And Lord, fill us each one day by day with the Spirit of God with power, that in our lives, in our testimony, Lord, in our service, O God, for Thee, and all that we'd seek to say and to do, that, Lord, our lives would be a reflection of the Lord, that we might bring honor and glory unto Thy name, Lord, and that we might be vessels unto honor, the Lord, meet for the Master's use, that Thou canst use for Thine honor and for Thy glory. Thank Thee for every head bowed before Thee, every home, Lord, and family represented. Bless each and every child of God. Meet the need of every heart and life and soul, O God, in this gathering. Help us in these days in which we live to live, Lord, by Thy grace and power, to the glory and the honor of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen and amen.